Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. Christian Harvey, the executive director of Transition House, which operates the emergency shelter in Cobourg, suggests bylaw officials need to avoid any perceived overreach. Following a November inspection, bylaw requested that it be consulted prior to the placement of any recliners due to past history of homeless people sleeping in the chairs while they were placed in the former warming room. Harvey says there is no bylaw in having furniture in the shelter. He says the language used by bylaw in the inspection report can be interpreted as intimidation.
So our goal at Transition House is never to leave anyone out, right? Like, the reality is we are the only shelter other than Cornerstone for women fleeing violence. We're the only shelter in Northumberland, right? And so we don't want to stop anyone, but we also have a mandate from County Council that there was a decision to increase to become a higher barrier. So our goal was more to look at what are the issues that we can address, and how can we make sure that we're having minimal impact on our neighbors while also allowing the most people as possible to access the shelter. So that's sort of how we've been looking at it. And instead of just saying, how do we create greater barriers, it's how do we meet the requests of the community while also making sure people have the basic need of shelter met. And we've done that a few ways. I mean, one is that the county council had mandated that we not allow anyone who is under the influence of substances in. That's something that it's a difficult one to actually address without kind of the possibility of violating human rights, because substance use can also, what can look like substance use can also be what lack of sleep looks like, or what head injury symptoms look like. There's a whole bunch of things. So instead, what we do is say, is someone going to be a danger or a major disruption for the space? And that has been kind of our main way. For the most part, we have been able to make it work for many people. It's resulted in us still being at capacity every single night almost for the last couple months. On average, we're 30, our beds were 35, and we're now at 34.6 every night, right? So we are full all the time. We've even increased our beds to 40 now. And so we're seeing a lot of people using it despite some of these movements that we have been mandated to do.
Now, prior to you coming on, there was a community meeting essentially being held and a lot of frustration being expressed by the community and by the business in and around the downtown Cobourg and 310 Division Street. What have you done to kind of address the community concern but also maybe build up some community well-being?
Well, I mean, I think there's two things there. It is so hard for communities to see things change. The reality is that the amount of people who are left out of housing in Cobourg and Northumberland has increased exponentially over the last 2 years. I mean, that's the reality, and we can't think that that's not going to have a negative impact on everybody. It clearly has a negative impact on those who are now forced to live outside or in shelter. But if that also has an impact on everyone, right? Desperation, when people are living in desperation, we all are hurt, and that's why we need to address it. I always hold a twofold thing. I want to take the concerns of the neighborhood seriously, and I will say that I think the major change has been that the warming hub was closed at 310 Division Street. I think that's what has mostly where the neighborhood has seen a change. That has meant that there's many people that was their only resource is not in that neighborhood, so people aren't coming to that neighborhood as much. And so that has probably lessened the impact on neighbors. But let's be clear that that's not necessarily good news. What that has meant is that many people have to just be outside for most of the day and only have access to the warming hub at night that is now at the county building, right? So it has made the neighborhood around 310 Division feel calmer. And so that there's a positive there, but it is at the expense of many people's well-being.
Now let's talk about the clientele that you're seeing coming into the shelter. I know that there's a stigma about homelessness and addictions, but I also understand that there are some seniors living at the shelter due to really no fault of their own. What are you really seeing on the ground every day there?
So, right, I mean, obviously the demographic changes from, you know, week to week as people come in and come out. But what we have right now, about 50% of those who are with us, or over 50%, are over 50 years old, right? That is, that should shock us, right? Now, it should, but also that's similar to demographics we're seeing across Canada, in that we're seeing more and more people, as we see affordability leaving more people out, that those who maybe had an apartment for years and years and years that was kind of, well, a good rent, all of a sudden it's not affordable to them anymore, right? Like, or what happened, I mean, the landlords can't change the rent, but they might evict them for rent evictions, or because it's being used or the building sold, and then that person is not able to compete on the market anymore. The money that they have no longer allows them to rent anything on the market. And so we're seeing a lot of people like that, or a partner passed away, right? And all of a sudden they just don't have the resources that they thought they had. And we're seeing more and more of that. Our shelter manager, who's been there longer than me, has said that we are seeing so many new people that we've never seen before at the shelter. And that's something that's concerning. We are turning away. We've turned away kind of 50 people last month, 40 people the month before, because we don't have capacity, because we're seeing more and more people need it.
Now let's talk about the recent decision by the county to move to a high barrier facility at the shelter as of January 1st. What can the clients expect walking in, and what do you think the community will see as well?
I think the community will see no difference, but because already there has not been major issues within the community over the past while. Now, I will say the higher the barrier, the more people are left out in shelter, the more there will be people who have nowhere else to go and are just going to be in public spaces. I mean, that's going to be a reality, right? And so that is why we're committed to trying to make it, while meeting the mandates of our what we've been told, to still allow people as much as we can to come in. Higher barrier it can be a bit of a worrisome decision, but we are doing our best to meet that mandate. So what that has changed is now on intake. So that means when someone first comes to the shelter, there is a metal detector. That's something that we've been requested to use. It means that we have no longer offer amnesty lockers, which is where people would be able to store things that might not be legal, and so we can't offer that anymore. And beyond that, we've tried to mitigate any other things that would have a negative effect on our clients, while also trying to balance the impact on the community.
Now, as you're aware, there was a recliner issue before you got there in the warming room. You know, obviously bylaw inspectors came in and said that they need to be removed. They were removed. But this recent inspection in November found that the recliners had returned in an area where a TV was. Now, I know that's not the warming room anymore, and it's now a full-on shelter. What is your take on the line by bylaw saying that they should be consulted before implementing any more recliners?
I mean, I think they might have been mistaken on the history of how this happened. First off, the bylaw was around sleeping. Now, there's a lot of things that I think we need to talk about how we put barriers to the basic human need to sleep, but that was what they were trying to crack down on. There are no bylaws on what kind of furniture people are allowed to have in parts of the things that we operate. We are allowed to have comfy chairs, right? Like, that is not a violation of any such bylaw. The issue was sleeping, and what happened was that a decision between county staff and Transition House, when we were operating the warming hub, because we were constantly getting bylaw violations around people sleeping there, not around the chairs, that it was decided by the county and Transition House to remove those chairs. So there was never a mandate to remove those from bylaw. That we weren't violating a bylaw by having comfy chairs. The decision to put them back was, again, our decision to make, right? There is no bylaw around that, and that's also why I think we didn't get a... They can say that we should consult, that's fine, but we didn't violate a bylaw by having comfy chairs. And so that is, I think, an important thing to clarify. And so they could want that, that's fine. We probably will not make... We won't make consultation with them on furniture decisions going forward, but that request can be made.
Now, do you find the language in that report, or at least on that section of the recliner, a bit intimidating, bullying?
I would say it's getting, it's trying to mandate things that aren't theirs to mandate. And I think that's important, right? I respect bylaw's role in maintaining order in the community, but there is times that can appear like overstepping, and I think comments about that can be that exact thing. We are going to continue to operate in the way that meeting the mandates that are given to us, while also doing what's best for those that we're supporting. I think what it shows more, and this is important, is that we are constantly treating homelessness as if it's a problem of as if it's the fault of those experiencing homelessness. And I've said this repeatedly, and I think it's so important to remember that it's not the fault of people who are experiencing homelessness. We do not have enough housing that is affordable to people in our community, right? That's the reality of it. And there's no amount of, and there's kind of, I think behind things like this is the idea that if we just make it less comfortable for people experiencing homelessness, then they will be motivated to find housing. But it's housing that largely doesn't exist. And I think that's a dangerous mindset that we're in. And it's even more dangerous when we do it in the name of safety, right? It's not, it doesn't make more people safe to make it so that those who are unhoused can't sleep, right? That is dealing with the potential danger of what might happen if a fire, though there's staff monitoring, all those sorts of things, of some potential danger by creating real dangers. Now, obviously, at Transition House, we have rooms where people can sleep. But this whole idea of trying to address where people can sleep, I think is a big problem. Now, so I guess that's a long answer to say it is concerning the what is behind the request.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.